You may already know that SiriusXM brings you the deepest variety of commercial-free music for every genre and every mood, where you hear the biggest names in talk, entertainment, and comedy, and hundreds of hand-curated music channels designed to fit every mood.
Where you get news from every source, where you can listen to the newly launched Fish Radio, in addition to Jam On, Grateful Dead Radio, Pearl Jam Radio, Tom Petty Radio, and many more. Where you can listen to top comedy channels such as Kevin Hart's Laugh Out Loud Radio and Netflix's A Joke Radio and Sports Talk Radio from Barstool to ESPN and more to keep you up to date on the latest news in the sports world.
Most people think you need a car to enjoy SiriusXM, but you don't. Subscribe now to listen outside the car on your phone, online, and at home, and get your first 3 months for just a dollar. And if you're a Fish fan, which you probably are, you can get tour updates and shows being played, which are a good complement to our quick hits. Visit SiriusXM.com/HFpod to see offer details and to subscribe and start listening today. SiriusXM, no car required. Thanks for tuning into the Helping Friendly podcast. This is the quick hit for the second night of Camden. I am here with one of our hosts, RJB. RJ, how was the show last night?
Hey, it was a lot of fun. I apologize, I'm at the train station, so there's background noise, but it was an interesting show. You know, I heard a lot of diverging opinions leaving the show, but I had a good time, and there were some interesting choices in there. I think that we can chat about.
I've seen everything from the full scope of Saturday Night Special to this was the show of tour from one guy, from a text that I woke up to. Hey, Dave. I've listened to the first set and the Ruby Waves in second. So I haven't had time to get to this whole thing. But I've enjoyed what I've heard. I think they're playing strong, even if maybe some people disagree with the set list choices or the quickness of the transitions or what have you. But let's get down into the details. Tell me about, first of all, there was a thing yesterday, an Osiris
thing.
Tell us about the Osiris event at
Tonewood. Yeah, it was great. The people at Tonewood Brewing and Fear of a Craft Beer Planet took care of us and brought us all together to talk about Fish and drink beers and hang out and meet people in person. And it was really fun. A lot of people showed up. We appreciate people coming out and saying hi. And it was really good. It was a good event. And right when we were kind of packing up the event itself, it started pouring in Oakland, where Tonewood is. And then it poured kind of on our drive to Camden, and then it cleared up. So it was the second day in a row of good timing for the weather, in that, you know, didn't disrupt my commute, at least.
Yeah, we were coming home from our vacation and driving through those same storms.
Oh, yeah.
And yeah, it was wicked, wicked. I'm glad it didn't greatly impact the rock concert, though. I guess it delayed everything the night before, but not tonight.
And the timing was a little off, you know, last night. I don't know if because there was a good storm that was supposed to come through, it kind of started a little early, and then it seemed like the set was probably a normal length, but it just seemed like the timing, I don't know if they were anticipating a break in between the sets because of another storm system, because the timing just seemed a little bit off, but it all worked out fine.
Yeah, so let's get into the details of the rock concert. Big proper total mics opener there.
Yeah, it really came out swinging, you know. I think, like, the big theme for me is, like, the mics in the Divided Sky are open in the first set aside. There's so many new songs, right? We got 20 to 30 probably new songs between Ghosts of the Forest, Casbah Vox, stuff. And this is our first real tour since a lot of those songs were written and played, you know? So it offers a lot of opportunities for risk taking, I think. And I think, you know, sometimes it pays off really well, and sometimes it's like a little bit harder to land. And I think we're seeing that kind of evolve. But these set lists you'd never see before, right? Because these are new songs. So it's kind of interesting. But this first set was sort of the antithesis of that. pretty much everything was kind of an older tune coming into set one. I don't know if that was intentional, but I think the energy was good and people were psyched. By the Sky was beautiful. And then the Everything's Right jam was kind of a first real, you know, big jam of the evening.
Yeah, you know, it's funny. That comes in at under 10 minutes, but it's perfect. Like, it gets out there and it kind of resolves itself nicely all in that time. I really enjoyed listening to that this morning. And it drops into Gula Papyrus, which is, I thought was pretty well played in my cursory listen.
Yeah, absolutely. They said, you know, they said something about Osiris, which is cool.
Yeah, that's kind of nice. And we,
but yeah, it was the sparkle, you know, like that was a good, I don't know, the first set was great. And there wasn't really a down moment, you know, it all kind of like flowed really well together.
I have to share with everybody that, you know, just a few minutes ago while we were texting and, you know, getting this set up, I was listening to the end of the first set, and that peak in 46 days is amazing. Like, yeah. that is money. That is, I don't even know how to describe it in more, you know, scientific terms other than to say that they really built something there and it was worth writing. It was outstanding.
And you're right about the length, you know, like it was only 10 and a half minutes and like Everything's Right, but they got right into it and didn't waste any time. So very efficient use of getting into the jams, you know. There wasn't a lot of exploration in those jams. They got straight to it. And I think same thing with the Blazon opener. It was only 9 minutes. Like when I was, you know, when it was happening, I thought it was much longer than that because they did get pretty far out there. And I do... You know, Jonathan, I think you and I are similar in that we don't do a lot of complaining about Fish because why would you? Because it's just music that you go to see.
Right.
However, I don't know why you would. I don't know why you would like choose to ripcord a Blazon jam into NICU. That's just like I don't think I'll understand that. But I don't need to because it's, you know, it's not my choice. I found it a little odd.
NICU is a cool song, and Trey kind of found it and decided to go with it. That's the best I can interpret from just listening to it on the on the recording this morning.
Yeah, I think, you know, I think like the Blazon, the Golden Age, both of those seem like they were getting somewhere, and Trey just, you know, it happens. Like you, sometimes Trey doesn't have the patience to see those things all the way through, you know what I mean?
Yeah, he's, you know, we don't really know his vision either. You know, so he's seeing it one way and we're just picking up the pieces after he's destroyed the building.
I do think, you know, I mean, I think patience is such an important, you know, component of any music, particularly any improv music, right?
Sure.
And I think that varies day to day. I'm sure it does for all four members of the band, not just Trey. But you could see him kind of like, you know, kind of cycling through looking for something. And I think the Ruby Waves is where they found that, you know, probably the best time of the night, which again, these new songs like provide these opportunities, but it's a risk, you know? And I'm sure it feels risky to them having not played these songs very many times. Do you think?
Well, I think you're making very good points. And last night you tweeted something during the show of what is Trey trying to get to, I'm paraphrasing. It's not exactly right. But, you know, and people, there were jokes about, you know, bed and, you know, what have you, or character zero, encore, or those kinds of things. But, you know, he may well have been looking for the space that felt right. And Ruby Waves, he found some room and found something to play with. But it may also have been the big debut later in the set that he was looking for.
Right, true. Good point. Yeah. I mean, so that, you know, Ruby Waves, the jam was just really, really good. And again, same with the others that we talked about. Didn't take long. So that 14 minutes feels like 20, you know. Being in that jam was really a great, that was a great moment. And then Death Don't Hurt Very Long, you know, again, like, do whatever you want, you know. Not my band. But in the middle of the second set, Death Don't Hurt Very Long and Rift, sort of mid-second set, would seem a little... like, again, sort of a step back or kind of waiting to see what was next. But whatever they're feeling, they're going to do, obviously.
Yeah, you know, I can't comment on how this sounded because I haven't heard this bit. But I would say that I think it's a good gag for Death Don't Hurt Very Long to be extremely short.
Right. It was really short, less than 3 minutes.
Yeah.
And then, like you said, maybe the Beneath the Sea of Stars, I mean, I thought we were in the middle of like a, you know, late 80s Dark Star, as I said last night. Really cool. But again, only 8 minutes, but like, I don't know, 2 minutes into it, we were like, you're in this jam. And it was really very lovely, but also different than I think any other jam of the night and maybe of the tour. It was just totally different sonic elements from what I could tell.
And I haven't heard it yet. I can't wait. And especially because I know from the Ghosts of the Forest that this song kind of gets out, gets weird.
Yeah.
And the notion of it just in my head canon of how it comes into Waiting All Night is pretty exciting. So yeah. I'm curious how that went down.
Yeah. It's really cool. And I was just waiting for Branford Marsalis to be somewhere in there. But yeah, it was really good. The Waiting All Night again, like, yeah, good song. And I like that song quite a bit. It was just, I think at that point in the set, you're wondering like, where's this, you know, how's this going to resolve this set? Is it, you know, three or four songs or is there something else happening? And, I thought the Waiting All Night and the Ghost were good. The Ghost got very dirty, like very fast, which is cool. I have to say the Santos, like that might be the song that I want to hear the most live at this point, because Trey's soloing on this one. And the last time they played it in Charlotte, I think is just absolutely insane. You know, three or four different rock peaks, but like really just really like shredding solo, you know, it's a little bit shocking. So that was a really cool way to end the set.
Yeah. They're clearly having a great time with that song. The Charlotte one was outstanding. I was going to say, looking back at the show and taking into account your comments, you know, we have Ghost, we have Ruby Waves, which does get a little long. We have certainly Blaze On, we have 46 Days and Everything's Right. All of those have pretty significant jams, even if they don't make the 20 minute chart. That's a lot for a Saturday night show. I think that's a pretty good high watermark. And I also remembered something. I did hear a little bit of Weak Pog jamming in that early in the Ruby Waves jam. I just want to throw that out there, but
nice.
Maybe that's just me. So they left you all with all of that and then come out for You Enjoy Myself encore.
Yeah. Which was, again, like the timing of it all was interesting. I don't know if they were like, they realized they had more time or what, but You Enjoy Myself is great. You know, everyone, it's interesting to watch the fans this tour, because they're clearly those people who, you know, unlike you and I, like go out to see Fish once or twice a year and don't pay attention that much in the in-between times, right? So like, you know, Ruby Waves or Beneath the Sea of Stars kind of catches people by surprise. And then of course, You Enjoy Myself, everyone in the place is back in it, you know? And it was fun. It's always fun. That song is great. And after the vocal jam, I think I saw Trey look over and they kind of like, it seemed like maybe he was checking, like, do we have time? And then they brought out the acapella mics and they did Grind. And the Grind, they were all looking at I didn't realize, I was wondering how they actually remember the numbers for Grind. And so they were looking at a piece of paper on the ground, for the number of days or whatever. And they kind of, all four of them kind of messed up and they were laughing. And it was a funny way to end a show. And right after the show, I talked to several people. One person was like, that was so much better than Friday night. And that was not the way I experienced it, but I can see that perspective. I think there was like a lot of great moments. But you know, like we've been saying, these moments, like they come pretty quickly and then they go pretty quickly. So there were like several of them, you know?
Yeah. Well, that's like life. You've got to grab them while they're there. Because it's going to fly right by. And I think that contrast of the Friday and Saturday shows, I don't think it's fair to put them head to head, although it's obvious and easy for people to do because that's what Fish fans do. They're very different shows so far from what I can tell.
Yeah. And I think I'm sure that now that I'm heading back to DC, I'm sure that tonight's show will be the perfect mix of the two and beyond.
Everybody who stays behind will thank you for leaving, because they will drop the biggest drop tonight.
Yeah, cool. That'd be great. So yeah, man, you know, it's a funny thing. I have to write the Fishnet review for the show last night, and I'm still like kind of wrestling with it. But I think this, like, what we're talking about today seems to kind of capture it. But these new songs are really just varying up the selection and the set list so much that I think it's a little bit less predictable even than Fish usually is, you know?
And yet just the other night, somebody got a full 5 for 5 on their pick 5. So
did they really?
Yeah. Yeah. I'm sorry. I don't remember who it was, but I saw it on the Twitters and that was amazing. So shout out to you, whoever you are.
The one thing we didn't talk about is that they played a song that you like called Rogue.
Some call it that. Yeah, I really enjoyed that, Roger. It's really good.
It was very pretty. All right, well, Jonathan, we gotta. Well, I don't know. Actually, I was gonna say we gotta listen to Ruby Waves, but do you think everyone has heard Trey shred this Santos solo by now?
Maybe, but it's entirely your call, RJ. You're the guest.
Man. This is too hard.
Flip a coin.
All right, Ruby Waves.
All right, Ruby Waves jam. That'll be it. All right, everybody. Thank you for listening. We're going to leave you some of the Ruby Waves jam, and we'll be back tomorrow to talk about the show that RJ missed tonight. So thanks, RJ, for joining me.
Thanks,
enjoy your train ride. Bye.
Talk to you later.
Hi, I'm Ben Sawyer, and I'm the co-host of the Road to Now podcast on the OSIRIS Podcast Network. Each week, my partner Bob Crawford and I speak with experts to discover how history has shaped the politics, culture, and economy of the world we inhabit. I'm a history professor and stand-up comic, and Bob is a founding member of the Avett Brothers with a deep knowledge of history and theology. Together, we work to bring history to the public in a way that is informative, accessible, and we hope, entertaining. You can find the Road to Now podcast anywhere you get this OSIRIS podcast or on our website at www.theroadtonow.com. That's www.theroadtonow.com. We hope you'll join us on the road and that you thoroughly enjoy this episode of our fellow OSIRIS podcast.